a galaxy far, far away, there was a diner. And it's pretty much turned to dust by now, but luckily we have this one, on the air since 1997, on the web since 2005, and now available in handy podcast form. It's Friday, May 12th, 2006. Welcome! No, it's ridiculous. It's a bandwidth problem is what it is. I mean, imagine if in the early days of radio, for example, you know, they'd have to shut down a show because it had too many listeners. You know, sorry, you got 20,000 people listening to your show. It's overloading the transformers. We got to yank you off the air. I know, it's just, it's... Oh, can we get back to this? Thanks. Hi, folks. Sorry. James Lilacs here at the diner, at my accustomed place, at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Conner, the old diner out on Highway 23, old Highway 23, I should mention, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. I'd best cut to the chase. Dasn't I? Is that a correct use of dasn't? I'm not even sure what dasn't is a contraction of. Das not. Das not, lest ye be dast, I guess. I will have to be in reduced format somewhat this week because I'm having some supply problems, shall we say, with the old bandwidth issue. So I'm not exactly sure whether I'm on the air today or not. We'll just have to trust the fates. So this will be short and truncated, but that doesn't mean we can't go through the usual stations of the day. Hold on. Some guy just came in and erased the menu specials before I even had a chance to look at them. I don't think that's something that outsiders are allowed to do. What is he writing? Crow and Humble Pie. The specials of the day are Crow and Humble... What the... Now he's coming over this way. He's a creepy-looking guy. Fire in his eyes. What? For me? What? Thanks, I guess. And he stalked off. It's an envelope and a rather thick one. Doesn't have a BBC Lunar stamp on it, so, it's not going to have as much fun as last week. Well, I'd best open it. Bestn't I. Wait a minute. I recognize that guy. I've seen him before. That's the manager of the rival diner on the other side of Lake Lilac. Yes, yes, of course. It was built about the same time as this one. But they've never really gotten along. Back in the 90s, NPR used to run it, but they got out of the business, and for a long time we didn't know exactly who had it, because it was empty, but lately we've been hearing strange noises from the place. Late at night, unearthly, eerie noises, odd clanks, and, well, frankly, we've seen a peculiar glow at twilight. And that's the fellow that I've seen driving towards the diner on the other side. Well, I mean, and by sea, I mean, I've been looking at him, okay, through a telescope. There you have it. Wow, that's him. What do they want? What are they up to? Well, let's check the envelope. Oh, great. It's a letter. About 18 pages. Handwritten. Margin to margin. Tiny type. And very narrowly spaced. Wonderful. Well, I'm going to take some time to digest this here. Not literally, of course. I'm just going to chew it over, figuratively speaking. I'm going to read it, okay? And then I'll get back to you with whatever the devil it is they want. In the meantime, let me just punch up something at random here. Man, this day is turning out peculiar. Let's see what we got here in the old jukebox fresh this week. D8.
Mailman passes by, and I just wonder why he never stops to ring my front door bell. There's not a single line from that old love of mine, not a word since I last heard farewell. That's the reason that I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter. Make believe it came from you. Oh, gonna write words oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom, I'll be all so glad I got 'em. I'm gonna smile and say I hope you feel.
Good Lord, this thing is impenetrable. As far as I can tell from the first few pages, he wants me to convert to vegetarianism. You know, I like my bowl of spinach, but, sorry. I like it of meat, eh?
Knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom. I'll be glad that I got them. I'm gonna smile and say, I hope you're feeling better. And close with love the way you do. I'm gonna sit right down, write myself a letter. Oh, and make believe it came from you, just you. Oh.
Okay, I've read a little bit more here. This man is a... Well, I'd say he's a flaming nutwad, but have you ever actually had a flaming nutwad? They're quite delicious. You take a Pearson salted nut roll, and you sort of crunch it together, and then you soak it in brandy and set it on fire. Anyway, they're very good. I recommend them. But he's a nut. He's worse than a nut. He's a nerd. First of all, 6 pages of the letter are devoted to matzo balls and how they pose a threat to the comedy that apparently exists between our diners. I have no idea what he's talking about. And the rest of it concerns apparently some project they've had going on over there that would explain the lights and the noise, to enrich soy so as to create a meat substitute the likes of which apparently will banish meat from the face of the earth. Those weren't his exact words. Wipe the verminous bovine pestilence off the face of the earth. And there are all these sort of pointy star symbols. I don't know what those were. But he says it's purely for peaceful purposes, that he's not intending to start any sort of competitive environment between the diner and his diner. Although he warns that should the diner here, and I don't know why he writes this to me, I have no control over these things. He warns that if the diner here should reduce the price on its burgers, that this will be seen as an aggressive act. And so we are to maintain, apparently, the same pricing structure and allow them to develop their soy-based burger. Wow. Yeah. And it's a pounder, he says, which frankly surprises me, because that's really the... Well, there's sort of an unspoken agreement, as far as I can tell, in the restaurant world, that you just don't do the pounder. You can do the 1/3 pounder, which is pretty much what people expect out of a restaurant hamburger, at least in a diner. God knows what you get at the Chili's or the TGIFs or the GF gut stickers or whatever those places are there. I'm sure you get 6-pound slabs drenched in butter and glistening with bacon, studded with little ham bits inside. Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. But in most restaurants, you get the quarter pounder or you get the third pounder. Sometimes you get a generous half pounder and they'll say it's hand cut. I always love that. No machines back there mechanically separating our hamburgers. No. Hand formed by artisans. But the pounder, man, I don't know. In diner terms, that's really an escalation. Well, you know, the owner of the diner isn't here, so... Well, if the letter was given to me, I feel free to speak on behalf of the diner. I'm going to call this guy up, okay? And I'm just going to tell him to just keep his missives to himself and never you mind and all the rest of it, all right? Let me pop up something else here. Forgot my cell phone, so I'm going to have to use the rotary phone in the corner of the diner. I'll be right back. Yes, may I speak to the owner, please? Oh, this is he. Do you always answer the phone, death to the other diner?
Yes.
You do? Yeah. Well, this is a fellow from that diner to which you wish the death, and I'd like to say I got your letter, and I have read it, and I thank you for writing and your concern, but I can only say that I'm sure the diner will develop whatever burger technologies it needs to remain economically viable and will engage in whatever marketing strategies it prefers. Likewise, so I really don't know where we're going with it. Well, no, you just... No. Well, come on. Well... All right, no. I thank you for this frank and open exchange of views, all right? And let's just leave it at that. Forget about it, all right? Goodbye. Yes, yes. And death to you, too. Right.
Oh, dear, how I need one sweet letter.
and blue, and I keep on singing, oh, what'll I do? Though it's not fair, and you don't care about me, drop me a line if you just sign yours sincerely. You know that I'm praying the night and day through, just hoping I'll get one.
Well, that didn't go very well. I'm not surprised. No, nothing good ever comes of writing a letter. I don't know why people send letters. I'm not talking about your wonderful, learned 18th, 19th century correspondence, and I'm not talking about the stuff you write in your 20s when you're writing letters late at night to friends. Does anybody do that anymore? Incidentally, probably not. Too many vowels are involved, and for a text message generation, actually inserting vowels between the relevant consonants is a lot of work. Granted, I write probably more letters now than I ever did because of email, but in my 20s, I would sit down with fool's cap, if you will, and yes, by God, a fountain pen, and I probably lit my pipe and took my scarf and tossed it around my shoulder in a jaunty fashion, too. And I would write long letters to my friends, and they would be letters that were not thought out beforehand. You would just simply spontaneously transmit your thoughts, and I suppose all of the good and wonderful letters arise from that spirit. Mine, of course, I'm sure were drivel. But there was another category of letter that I wish that I could take back, that we all wish we could take back, probably, and that's the lovelorn letter. I specialized in the lovelorn letter. Got dumped a lot, it seems, in a period there between about 19, between my 20s and my 26th birthday, which lasted until my 32nd or something like that. Anyway, I had a period in there where I was just getting canned a lot, making bad choices, of course, flibbertigibbet women who would go off to the next guy, and I would write the letter. I would craft it like a Baroque sculpture. And then when it was done, well, I would do something really stupid, like if we worked at the same restaurant. I always had to date the waitresses. I would go and there's her bike outside, chained to the parking meter. I'll just slip the letter in between the spokes so that she can't miss it. Of course, I never thought that perhaps she would just come out of the restaurant at 2 o'clock in the morning, eager to get home for a shower and bed, and just simply drive off, not even hearing the shredding sound of my heart being ripped to pieces by her spokes. But no, more than likely, she looked at it and thought, oh my God, oh, another one of those. What always stunned me, of course, was that they had no effect. That wasn't the idea. That wasn't the general intention. No, I thought that by crafting a letter, which accepted, of course, her decision, if you love something, set it free, etc., I would accept her wisdom, and then I would so magnanimously celebrate the thing that was her, that was finding its perfect and most fullest expression in this dumping of me. Goodbye, my love, goodbye. And I would walk away nobly, trailing pipe smoke with my scarf flapping in the breeze, a noble and a tragic figure. And upon reading this missive and finding out exactly what a romantic and wise and capacious soul she had so cruelly sundered into the singles bin again, well, she'd had no course but to come running back. Yep, so, you know, if I dropped the thing in the spokes around 1 o'clock and she got off work at 2 o'clock, yeah, about 2:05 or so, I'd be looking at the door saying, all right, okay, well, you know, 2:10 comes. All right, well, so she read it twice. You know, 2:15, takes a little while to get over here, 2:20. Gosh, I hope nothing happened to her. I hope she's okay. 2:25, I'm really starting to get worried. Somebody could have attacked her between the restaurant and my house. 2:30. Maybe she stayed for a while after work. Yeah, that's what she did, of course. 2:35. Yeah, but who did she stay with, exactly? 2:40. No, they're all sitting downstairs. They're all sitting downstairs at the bar at the Valley, aren't they? And they're having a grand old time, smoking the cigarettes, sneaking a little wine. 2:45. Who needs her? Who needs her? I don't need her. No. 2:50. I write a letter like that, and she, what does she do? She goes to bed. She goes to bed. Alone or with somebody? No, alone. I'm sure she went to bed with somebody else. 2:55. I know she went to bed with somebody else. 3 o'clock. Vow. I will never write a letter again. 3:05. I start drafting the next one. Though, yes, I've experience in these matters. Nothing good comes of letters. But then again, I seem to have diffused this situation nicely, eh? What? I mean, the fellow sends this angry, cranky missive over here, and, you know, what do? I tell him, essentially, to go pound a soy, and that's the end of it. So, I guess we don't have to worry about anything with the old other... Oh, nuts.
It looks like we're all gonna have to head to the basement for a while. So that's it for this week, I guess. Sorry, see you next week. I hope. I'm James Lennox, and this is Ben in shortened version, The Diner, from May 12th, 2006. Hurrah. See you again.
All right, everybody, downstairs. Let's go. Let's go.